I mentioned that we reached out for some help in certain areas, and one of them had to do with becoming a sales organization, and that sales are a virtue. It's not the slimy salesman that we maybe think about it sometimes. But Kevin Brown is here. He's helping us establish some inside sales processes and teams and things like that on the customer service side. But he also has convention floor sales experience. So this guy has an insane wealth of knowledge, and so we invited him here. He's going to be sharing with us over the next 4 hours or so. We'll also be having a working lunch during that time. There's a lot of things to cover, but I think it'll be just very beneficial for everyone. So welcome you here.
Great.
Take it from here. Thank
you. All right. Well, thanks for the introduction. I appreciate it. So I'm Kevin. Been in sales for quite a while. So who am I? I started my professional career as a high school science teacher for 4 years in Durham, North Carolina. So I kind of understand the education world as well, at least from the public school side of it a little bit. But when I first got into sales from being a teacher, I didn't really get any formal training. And I'll tell you, it wasn't really an easy transition. My first sort of like sales leader, he was really from that boiler room school of always be closing. And it didn't feel natural to me. I didn't really like it. I wasn't comfortable with it. So what we're going to talk about today is sort of the things that I've learned over the last 10 years being a professional salesperson, trainings, books, and everything, sort of just a big compilation of it. So the purpose of this training is really, no one knows this product set better than you. So I'm not even going to pretend to know it as well as you. The whole goal of this is to help you be more effective communicators. And you've got a real challenge that we have to out right out of the gate. You can't take an order right then and there. Even if they have money in their hand and they're like, I want to buy it, you can't. So because you can't, we can either decide to make that an excuse as to why we're not going to have success, or we can just embrace that fact and acknowledge the fact that what we really need to do is we need to connect with these people at such a level and convince them that Sunlight really is such a great choice for them, and differentiate Sunlight from all the other vendors that are there that actually can take orders or are taking orders, so that they'll go home and they'll make a purchase for Sunlight. That's really the whole purpose of today. So this is not a this isn't a dissertation on how to do sales. This is a interactive participation. So I'm going to teach you a bunch of techniques and tactics, and then we're going to be doing them. So if anyone's a little bit of a wallflower, doesn't really like to participate, you're going to be uncomfortable for the next 4 hours. But just for the few minutes that I've worked with you so far, I don't think that's going to be a big problem.
You have a timer.
Well, we've got the clock. We've got a couple of timers. Okay, so what are we going to do today? We're going to talk about what is sales. We're going to talk about this concept of caveat emptor to caveat venditor, attunement, clarity, presentation, and off-ramp. So nowhere in here are you going to see always be closing. So the goals of this is really to give you the skills to start conversations and talking with a few of you. That seems to be one of the challenges that we have. Someone's walking in front of the booth. How do we get that person to walk across that invisible line, engage with us, and get into a conversation? Tactics to connect with your prospects and motivate them to buy after the event. How to handle the naysayer. Let's say you have that husband-wife team, or you have that purchaser that brought her sister along with her, and the other person's really not interested in this, and maybe they want to go do something else. How do you handle that conversation? How do you not let them detract from what you're trying to do and not alienate them? And then at the end of the day, how to be more effective communicators. It's not to assume that you're not good communicators today. It's just to make you more effective. All right. So with that, what is sales, right? So when we think of sales, like sales training, this isn't the goal. Like, we're not going to try and get you guys all slick back hair and try and always get to close or things like that. Sales is about getting people to allocate resources to something you want them to do. And bigger than that, it's really about connecting with people at a deep, deep level. So we're going to get into some techniques and some tactics of how we're actually going to accomplish that. And, the biggest thing is, no one really talks about being sold They think about, they were bought. So, Carla, what was what's the last thing that you bought that you thought was the greatest thing since sliced bread?
My iPhone.
Your iPhone, why?
Because it's a great tool. It helps me to stay organized. I can multitask. I can get things done when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say I'm about to go, and you and I are—we're at a holiday party, and you know, I'm telling you, I don't really like my phone. I've got this Android thing. What would you say?
Let me show you what my iPhone can do.
Yeah.
Right. So it's pretty easy. It's
changed my life. I tell people it's changed my life, and I tell them why.
You've become a raving fan, right? And you know, everyone in here has a little bit of sales energy in them, just to start with. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be attracted to this role right now. But you never hear anyone say, "I was sold something," right? Because if you were sold something, 9 times out of 10, you have a little bit of buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. And we don't really want people to have buyer's remorse, because we're not really looking for a one-and-done sale. We're looking for long-term relationships. If we engage with a new prospective homeschooling parent that wants to get into this, we're looking at, you know, over a decade of engagement of working with those people. And that's really what we're trying to drive for. So what we're trying to do is create raving fans. And how we're going to create these raving fans is we're going to be able to leverage your expert advice. Now, one of the things that we do have to toe the line on is the fact that you are experts, right? And you've done all this. So there can be the tendency to blow someone out of the water a little bit. I'm a new parent, right? I've got an 8-month-old son.
Yep.
You guys could blow me away with advice on everything. I tell you, it's like challenges about getting the kid to sleep through the night. I could tell you about eating, right? Every single one probably has a different tactic. And if you came on too strong, I wouldn't really want to receive the information. So I'm going to challenge you throughout this to remember back to when you first started getting into this, the confusion that you had, the, I don't know if I'm making the right choice with the vendor, I don't know if I should be doing this, what was your motivation for doing homeschooling? All of those things, and we have to remember that we have to be able to take the point of view of the person we're talking to. So let's talk about parenting. Here's my son, Merritt. He's 8 months old today. You know, in this homeschooling world, it's a lot like parenting. So there's tons and tons of tribal wisdom. So, you know, one of the best pieces of advice that I got was actually from my dental hygienist. I was really, really tired, and, you know, I was like threatening to fall asleep while she was cleaning my teeth. And she's like, "Why are you so tired?" I'm like, "Well, I've got my new son, you know, he's a couple months old." She's like, "Well, you know, is he sleeping through the night?" I'm like, no, he's not sleeping through the night." "Well, how old is he?" "He's 5 months old." "Well, you know, what are you doing to sleep through the night?" "I don't know, he cries, we get up, we take care of him." And she's like, "Well, you know, you may want to try getting a 5-watt light bulb. Put it in there, and you know, when you go in, turn on the little 5-watt light bulb, so there's just a little bit of gentle light, and you just kind of like soothe him, let him know that you're there, and like just kind of keep petting his, you know, like his chest and stomach until he kind of calms down and goes back. And if need be, you can pick him up, but if you pick him up, you know, he's going to engage with you." So my wife actually had to go out of town for a work convention, and I was alone for 3 nights. And the first night, let's just say the first night didn't go so well. And then, you know, like in the morning, I'm remembering this advice. So the next night I try it, it works better. And by the third night, it worked well. He no delusions. He didn't sleep through the night or anything like that. But he actually, you know, like started to get it. And I think I told, there's like 4 other new dads at the company I work with. And I like literally was like spouting this, like it was directions to go find some gold. It was the most valuable thing. So let's go around. What's
probably got credit for it too, right?
No, I passed it all off. I heard this from my dental hygienist, because if it went south, I didn't want to have to be the bearer. So what's some of the best advice you've ever received or ever received being a new parent? Like rewind back to that time.
Given grandmother status, it's hard to remember that far back.
Yeah, 20 years. A warm baby is a sleepy baby.
All right.
That works most of the time.
Okay.
You know what my mom's advice was? Don't ever touch him when you're angry. And with 4 sons, that's been very good advice.
Yeah, I know a good one. The baby's not going to, like if the baby's crying in the crib and I can't stand it anymore and they're driving you crazy and you can't do anything, my mother would say, you know, Jill, just leave him in the crib for a minute and take a walk around the house, go outside for a couple minutes. Baby's not going to die crying in there, and then you can come back at it fresh. Mm-hmm. That was really good advice, because sometimes you're just so...
Yeah, they're crying, they're breathing. My mom always said, they're crying, they're breathing.
Yeah. You know? Take a break, make yourself a cup of tea, right. Something, and come back. Mm-hmm. And that worked. That was good advice.
One was when they fall down or what have you. Don't be quick to, you know, just kind of.
I was thinking the same.
Oh, okay, get up. Yeah. You know, and if they go, if at that point, if it's way worse, then get up slowly and kind of go to them. But that seemed to.
You learn the emergency cry.
Right.
Versus the, I want attention.
So we couldn't really capture any of this in a book, right? Like this is all, and if we did, even if it was on a blog or a Facebook page, it's all really kind of tribal wisdom. And that's one of the things that we have to really acknowledge with homeschooling, with new parents trying to get into it, is there is no definitive one source of all that is the right way, right? There's a million ways to parent the right way, and those same million ways to parent the right way, someone else would say that's the wrong way to parent, from the Ferber method to co-sleeping and everything in between. And it's the same thing with homeschooling. So in your experience of working with folks, you have this really unique opportunity to share this advice, right? Like if you or I were friends outside of this and I was, you know, trying to come to you with some sort of baby issue, with son's not sleeping, not doing this, you know, hey, please, please tell me something. That's really the environment that you're walking into. And we also have to acknowledge that our expert advice, or your expert advice rather, and all of the experience you've had of doing this, you're competing with blogs and Facebook pages and the lady across the street, or the person down the block, or the person at the coffee shop, or this person at the other convention. I talked to someone three booths over. So we're competing with all of those people. And it's important in a world of tribal knowledge that we don't ever really eschew or negate someone else's advice, but we really just have reasons as to why we have the beliefs that we have. And we try and take things that are very not concrete and try and add as much science to those things as we possibly can.
So you're saying you want to be an expert?
I'm saying you are an expert, and it's important
to
leverage. Yeah, you definitely want to promote the fact that you're an expert.
But and you don't want to slam the other guy who said the opposite of what you're
saying. Yeah. So how would we leverage the fact that we're an expert? Like, what would be a positive way of, you know, right, I'm a new parent, I've got this 8-month-old, I live in the highlands of Denver, public schools, you know, I'm a product of public schools in Wisconsin, they're a heck of a lot different than they are in Denver, Colorado. So, you know, this is an ongoing conversation in my house about, like, what are we going to do and how, you know, where are we going to take our child? So, what would you say about your experience of homeschooling? No, everyone has to participate. We talked about no wallflowers.
No, I
haven't.
I am an expert in different ways. Yes, yeah. So,
I have 9 kids.
Okay.
And with 9 kids, they all have unique, absolutely different academic needs. Mm-hmm. And the public school nowadays is so overwhelmed with dealing with just basic needs in the school that they are not able to ever get to that place of academically challenging kids in ways that are unique to them. Mm-hmm. And for me, homeschooling, especially with Sunlight, has been the way that we've been able to give all of our kids the same academic excellence, even though they each have their own unique needs. So for me, homeschooling has been that ability to pass on to my kids in a way that fits them and is tailored to them and enables them to go further.
Okay. So. Someone else.
Relationships within the family. My kids are each other's best friends. Even my 10 and my 14-year-old are best friends. My 17-year-old still gets on the floor with them and plays Legos if they ask. And I say, mm-hmm. You know, they're close. They're, you know, instead of that whole, I don't, Clark, he's my little brother, I don't have anything to do with him. They're friends. And okay. That is huge.
What about you?
One thing, I was thinking that a lot of times you have people that want to know the difference between this curriculum and our curriculum, why I think mine's better. And one of the things I say is that they've gone to someone so down that they say, well, their curriculum's high academic, their curriculum's that. One thing I say to them a lot of times is, well, that's true. Your child might be able to get an education in a lot of these different venues, but are you going to be able to pass on your core beliefs to your child through that curriculum? Some might's a venue for passing on what you and your husband or what you and your family deem high values, pass on your core beliefs to your children. in a way that's, you know, with the academic excellence. And they're going, well, yeah, if I just set them with three books, that's not going to pass on my core beliefs. So mm-hmm. I kind of go at that angle sometimes.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So, talking about just the idea of connecting with people and being able to relate to them. So, you know, what was your last family adventure? We went cross-country skiing. My son's in the little chariot thing. That was a really interesting experience, going down small hills with that behind you. Kind of takes you in a specific direction. But, you know, like the iPhone, you know, like what was like the last great family trip you did or something like that?
We moved to Colorado in January, mm-hmm. and my oldest daughter, who is 21, had to drive one of the vehicles, and my husband was driving the truck. I was driving a truck pulling a trailer. It was a huge adventure. And it was, you know, it was all new for her, especially, and the roads were sometimes icy, and it was exciting. Mm-hmm. That's what we most recently did.
Cool.
I don't know how that relates to homeschooling.
That's all right. We'll all get around to homeschooling eventually. Anyone else? Last great family adventure.
We went to the Bahamas with my brother-in-law's family. Mm-hmm. So our family and his family, and we got to spend a week.
And where did you stay?
It was actually a bit of an adventure. My brother-in-law has a big boat, and we were all supposed to go over on the boat, but the weather wasn't great. So my husband and my brother-in-law took the boat across, and we ended up, some of us flew, some of us took this ferry, and then we bebopped around the Abacos on the brother-in-law's boat. And then on the way back, we were supposed to go back on the boat, and again, the weather never did clear up, so there was huge rollers in the stream, and so we ended up taking the ferry back. But it was part of the story, and it was part of the adventure.
So I get the point that I'm trying to make is going on a vacation to somewhere new with your family is a lot like homeschooling, right? Like if I'd never been to the Bahamas, I might want to know how much were the flights, you know, how much was the hotel? Did you like the hotel? Did you check out any other place? What beaches did you go to? All of that stuff. And that, all that, the ability to talk about your iPhone, the ability to talk about your vacation, it's the same sort of tone and the same sort of energy we want to bring to the conversation of talking about homeschooling and that excitement of, hey, I went to the Bahamas, we had this really, really great trip. Oh, you got to check out this waterfall, it was so cool. That's really the same sort of passion and energy we want to bring. And more than just passion and energy, comfort. Because it's one thing if, you know, we have a couple of different buyers, right? We have the brand new, I've never done this before family. We have the I've used sunlight for years family. We have the I've done homeschooling, but I do it with the person three booths down, so I just kind of give you the Heisman as I walk by your booth sort of person, right? And ultimately, we want to engage all of those people. We want to get all those people to become sunlight customers. We want to be able to talk with all those people. So that's what we're going to get into in a little bit. So our biggest challenge, you know, we talked about, you can't close on the spot. So our goal in this presentation is to learn how do we educate, drive commitment, conviction, and then ultimately, what is the follow-through, right? Today we get contact cards and things like that. We're going to be at the end of this, we're going to be talking about what the off-ramp conversation is so that people understand what to expect and what they're supposed to do next. So this concept of caveat emptor versus caveat venditor. So caveat emptor is buyer beware. And this is the classic methodology of sales. This is the salesperson has all the knowledge, the buyer has no information, they have a lack of experience, they have a lack of credible information source. And for a lot of the folks that are coming to talk to you, that's a little bit of their mentality. They don't really know what's going on, they're looking at you. The other part is we also have what's called caveat venditor, seller beware, where it's become a buyer's world, and they're using Google and blogs and Facebook and tribal knowledge from all these fractured resources, and they're coming to you. So if you say something that challenges something that they read this morning on a blog that they're really familiar with, it's going to be kind of challenging to receive any more information. So one of the things that's really important when we're engaging with people is understanding where they're getting their information, how they're getting their information, how they came to make the conclusions, and really making sure that we're really assessing the situation before we actually do any selling. So you're the expert on this. You've used all this material. You know it better than anyone else, probably better than a lot of the people that have even created some of the content, because you actually know how the experience has been in regards to receiving it. You know it better than a marketing one sheet, and our collective goal is to empower you to better connect and communicate. So with that, the first thing we're really going to talk about is attunement. And attunement is really the art of connecting. So the definition is to cause a person to have a better understanding of what is needed or wanted by a particular person or group. And ultimately, it's to bring harmony to the conversation and for people to understand. So if you're feverishly writing down notes, you'll all get this presentation. So feel free to take whatever color notes that you want, but don't feel like you have to write down everything on the screen. So how do we do this? We really connect around the word empathy. So when I say the word empathy, what do you think?
Relating to them.
Relating.
Understand.
And how is empathy different than pity?
Looking down on.
Yeah. Empathy is beside someone instead of above them.
Exactly. So we want to empathize with the people that we're connecting with, but it's really dangerous to fall into that pity circle. So we need to make sure that we stay out of pity and really focus on empathy. So our intention is, like I talked about earlier, it's really to remember what it was like to be that person. And the easiest way to connect is if you're with a like-minded person, right? If a bunch of you had never met each other, and for some reason you got all dropped into one cocktail hour, and you realize, oh my gosh, I use sunlight, I did homeschooling, you would have a feverish conversation and exchange all these stories and different things about it, right? You probably did that a couple times already this training so far, right? And we want to be able to make sure that we can drive those connections. So our purpose of using empathy is to better connect with someone and understand their point of view. And really, it's their point of view that needs to drive the conversation. So how do we get to understand what their point of view is? A couple of things. Tactics. So the idea of connecting with someone, depending on how fast we speak, what our body language is, even like our body type, really can have a lot of factors in connecting with another person. So first things first, we want to use our head as much as our heart. And the biggest thing that we need to drive forward is honesty. So we're not in a hard closing environment. We're not trying to, we got to get you to sign up for this thing. This is the big thing we're trying to promote at this show. That's not it. There may even be times that we recommend something beyond sunlight to help them meet their goals. And that connection of not always being selling and not always trying to close for the deal builds a greater connection. Because the person the next booth down or two booths down, they're not going to go in with that same intention. They may have a quota, they may have some like incentive where if they get this thing done, so they're going to steer people to that. And people pick up on that. They're going to realize that. And most of the people who go around, they're not just going to go and talk to one booth. They're going to go to a bunch of different booths. So your intention and how you connect with those people and the information that you relay to them build all this credibility, not just for your connection, but also the whole Sunlight brand. Because at the end of the day, they don't know Tim, they don't know anyone else, all they know is you. And as far as they're concerned, you are Sunlight. So if they don't have a great experience with you, Sunlight's off the list. I'm not even thinking about them. Where on the other hand, you know what, I really like this other thing, but I had this fantastic conversation with the person at the Sunlight booth. I really want to check them out more. So how do we do that, right? So a couple of things. First and foremost, we want to match the volume of their voice. So if someone comes in and they speak quieter and they speak slower, we want to be able to speak quieter and slower. Now, this is mimicking, but we want to do it in a non-mocking fashion. So we want to do it subtly. So the way that we do this is, first and foremost, we have to watch, then we have to wait, and then we have to win. And what I mean when you're watching is you want to see how they approach your booth, right? We'll talk in a bit how we get them to come to the booth, but how do they present themselves? Are they closed off? Are they like this? Or are they a big, loud, open talker? And we want to gently try and do the same things that they're doing. Now, if someone's really, really closed off, you don't necessarily want to close yourself off as well, but you don't want to blow them out of the water and talk about how exciting this is and let's do this right now and take a seat and being really big, because they're just like, you're a little too much. Maybe a few less cups of coffee before you start the show next time. And the next part is to wait. Because with this technique, your first inclination is you want to try and do like the 20-second overview. Cool, now I'm going to be just like you, and I'm going to try and connect with you on that. So wait a little bit longer than your natural inclination is to start sort of doing the same things that they're doing. And in the watching, you really want to think of the language with which they're speaking in. They already have predetermined terms with how they're defining things. You want to use those same terms. If they refer to their children as children or kids or whatever it is, you want to use that same term. You want to not try and correct them or get them to speak the way that you do. You want to acknowledge and engage with them in the same way that they do, because it's easier, right? Like you're from the South. So you go anywhere and you hear someone with a little bit of Southern accent, you might be a little bit chummier with them. Mm-hmm. Where if you hear someone who's some fast-talking, loud East Coaster, you might be like, you're a little much right now. So you know, and it's
New York accent, strong.
Exactly. And on on accent, you never want to try and copy someone's accent. Yeah. Just for the record. fast way to not connect with them.
Yeah. That's a good way to get them out of the booth, though.
Would you ask? I mean, would that be a good opening?
Like, oh yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, I'm in New England, mm-hmm. and so they all sound the same, except when someone, and you're like,
No, actually, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later, but the easiest way to start a conversation with someone is the question, where are you from? Because 99 times out of 100, people are proud of where they live, they're proud of where they're from, and they feel comfortable asking it, right? If you said,
they know the answer.
Yeah, they do.
I do not. No harm. Yeah. I never have. I still don't. So don't ask.
That also gives you some of those information.
Exactly.
I think that's the hard part with homeschoolers is there's a huge variety of what you're getting. So it's hard to sometimes have initiations that are applicable to all, because of that. So sometimes we do start with just how many kids do you have, or that type of thing. Are you already homeschooling? Just those generic things, but sometimes I just wonder if some questions, it could just be a New England thing too. New Englanders don't like to talk to each other unless they have to. There's not that friendly. You don't strike up conversations with the person behind you in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. In fact, eye contact is strongly discouraged. It's just a different environment.
You don't smile at someone when you pass them in the street.
Yes. Oh, good morning. No.
No. When I moved to Chicago, walking in the very first day of my apartment, someone was coming out. I go, "Well, hi!" And they went big circle around me, and I must be a criminal, and I scared them to death.
So we're always struggling with
So we'll shortly be getting into some techniques on how to start. So the last thing about this is the idea of waning. If you feel that you're trying to observe and connect more than focus on the conversation, back off. You don't want to try and connect or mimic body language or speed, and you don't want that to be your first thought. You want it to be a secondary thought, because it'll come off as not genuine, and it'll come off as they won't feel a great connection with you. So everything you're trying to accomplish, if the wrapper becomes the focus instead of the present, it's not going to be well received, right? Everyone's at one point in their life gotten something that was wrapped really, really well and a dud on the inside. I tend to wrap a whole bunch of presents in newspaper so that they really focus on the thing inside, right? And I think wrapping paper is expensive. So we're going to do a quick little activity just to connect. So let's get into groups of two. So if you want to join up here.
I'm a work coordinator. I don't actually
do okay.
I'm not one of these people.
The people at the table,
they're just
what you want.
Sorry.
We're the salespeople at the table.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm happy to participate if you want me to.
Sure. All right. So I'd like you to, we're just going to take 20 seconds, and I want you to, you're going to look at each other, not going to say anything, just observe each other for 20 seconds, and then we're going to turn our backs to one another, and we're going to change something. So you can take off your glasses, you could change something about you, you could maybe put something on, and we're just going to see if we can observe these things. So go ahead, take a look at each other, and 20 seconds, go.
He's still trying to
change. Yeah, exactly.
I'm
on
you.
I'm sorry. I was like, I can rip off my shirt. No, I can't do that. It'll work.
We're just
observing, right?
Yep, just observing.
Talking. Observing, no talking.
All right, so stop. Turn your backs to each other.
We weren't supposed to talk.
It's fine. It's okay. A couple demerits, but it's okay. We'll just make you eat lunch late. All right, so I want you to change something about what you're doing. Like, change your hair, change something that would be visible, you know. All right, now turn around. And call out what you saw that was changed.
Dave, turn my collar up. That's important.
See, now I got three.
Yeah. All right. Did everyone get it?
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. Like, but
I took out my ring.
I was looking at that ring, but I didn't see
my wedding ring. So I'm no longer married. Like,
I was going to take off my ring too, but I couldn't get it off.
So the purpose of this is you don't really get a ton of time to observe someone right out of the gate, right? And you're going to be in a conversation, so you have a lot of things going on. So it's all those little subtle cues that help you pick up on how you connect with them, which leads us sort of into the next activity that we're going to do, which is really coming up with uncommon commonalities. Now, it's a little unfair because you guys know each other. So if we had a group of people that didn't know each other as well, it would be a little bit easier. So we're going to take 5 minutes, and it's just going to be all the folks at the table. And what we're looking to do is we're looking to find four things that the whole group has in common, but they can't be surface level. So it can't be anything sunlight, can't be anything homeschooling, can't be anything kids, right, at a high level. Like, I don't want you to come back and say, these are the four things. We all work for sunlight. We all go to conventions. Nothing like that. I want something a little bit deeper.
You'll have children.
And then in this conversation, I want you to each find four things that you have uniquely in common with another person, but not the whole group. So as an example, if we all had dogs, right? If every single one of us had dogs, but only Tim and I had golden retrievers, then, you know, that would be an example of the whole group and then something else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then if you guys have pen and paper, go ahead and write down the things. So we're gonna take 5 minutes, and then after the 5 minutes, in case anyone needs to get a little bio break or some water, we'll take a short break after that. So go ahead and get started.
Did you say bio?
Bio break.
Yes.
Yes. How you doing? Good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
How are things going?
Oh, good.
Good.
We're excited.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. I hope I live up to the bill.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be good.
Good. Good.
But yeah, there's some things going on now, and it's good. We're going to take care of them. And then, what do you think when you will be able to trace the?
Probably in the next. Not. Yeah. Probably not. Probably next week is going to be the main focus.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
To our work for some. I didn't go to that. I went there last year. Now. Has everybody been out of the country?
I've never left the U.S.
Yeah,
I have.
Oh, there you go.
But
you've only been to, that's your...
Well, I've been to land when I was three. Does that count? I don't
remember. Yes.
Still been.
See, do we all have corrective lenses?
Yes.
I don't wear them, but yes, I do.
Does that count as...
Yeah, that counts for
me. I guess because of our age. We're all old.
That might be too general.
And too obvious.
What about pets?
I was saying pets.
Yeah.
I have a dog and a cat.
What do you guys got?
A dog.
Bird. Fish.
No,
fish.
No, my cat just got diagnosed with allergies.
So you and I have in common we have no pets for the
sugar
second
butter.
One.
Yeah, sure, yeah. You're
dealing
with
no pet people.
Oh, well, who here hasn't been to Disney but has been to Florida? There, we got something.
There, two people, kind of Florida, but no Disney in common. You've never been to Disney?
Mm-hmm. I'm going this summer.
Never either one.
No, my parents, that was not their priority. Our field trips were always educational.
Who speaks more than one language?
Does sign language count?
Just you.
Yeah. Does it have to be fluent?
I can understand.
I can say adios amigos.
That doesn't count.
Okay, at lunch.
Not much.
Not much.
Hot mate.
Okay. Has everybody had surgery?
Yes.
Last week, yes.
No, I have not.
So you no? have a unique, everyone but...
No, I haven't.
Okay. Does oral surgery count?
Wow.
Huh?
Oral surgery?
It's surgery.
They did have to put me on board.
Oh, why did you?
All right,
does
everybody have a
minivan?
No.
No,
I've
got a big van.
You, so you guys have to come and have big van. Anybody else have big van? Because you guys would be the only two with big van.
Big
van.
Did we come up with Florida?
No,
we're working on that.
Oh, we have graduates and been to Florida.
No.
No.
What about?
I've had big vans.
Have we all been kind of college? Or did we, did some people?
2 years.
Yeah. Finished.
Or did
the college, some college?
Only two of us have grandkids.
So we've all had some college, not graduating college, but we've all had some college. Okay.
Anyone, did you get your doctor?
I mean, when
master's?
No.
Because I was thinking, like, some people go further, but
no, I got me.
Yeah.
We all did, because
we got more us.
Do you have a master's?
No. I got married.
Sheila and Kelly, are you the only ones that have been to Europe?
I haven't been to Europe.
You go.
There you go.
I've been to England.
Oh, yes, it
is. Yes, that's Europe. That's Europe.
So how about Germany?
Three of us.
Yeah. Germany?
We can narrow it down to just Germany.
Okay.
So two of you have been to Germany. Oh, how is that a subsection?
It's not a
subsection. Well, it's not a subsection of graduate Florida or college.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be a subsection.
So suppose, like, say the subsection of college would be how many people graduated from college.
Yeah.
Oh.
So how many people graduated? Got a bachelor's degree. So there's a bunch of us.
Well, there's only two of us that maybe didn't.
So didn't. Yeah. So that's your subsection.
That's
so,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Someday.
She's going to write. So she's writing.
Does anyone have a master's?
No.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. She's trying to find someone else to.
She's so smart.
That's how I got my MRS. Kept going. I got
my MRS after 1 year.
So yeah, it was 2 years.
Me too.
I did too. I go back now.
Okay, what else?
Graduation weekend.
We need one more thing in common, right?
One more thing in common.
Who likes coffee?
Sherry.
What's wrong with you? How about chocolate?
Chocolate.
Who likes chocolate?
Oh!
No!
I repeat, what's wrong with you? Jeez.
All right, that's 5 minutes.
We didn't make it.
That's all right. So,
we got close.
So what do we find out? What do we find that was in common?
We all have kids that graduated. We've all been to Florida. A couple people haven't been to Disney. I don't know. We've all been to college, some college, and two have not graduated.
All right, and so what were some of the unique connections or commonalities?
Some people had no pets, some people had no military, I mean, I don't know if that's what you want to know, no surgery, that's other things we talked about.
Yeah, like we said, all of us had been to college, but
two
had been part-time and stopped, so they had that commonality that was different than everybody else. Mm-hmm.
And so how long have you guys all known each other and been working together in environments like this?
10 years. Well, we only get together once a year, but we've been 10 years.
This is my 10-year anniversary.
Yes, I'm just going to say it. We're having cake later, did you know?
We started the same year, didn't we?
Yeah. How long have you been?
She says 10 years.
I've 10 years, her. So it's about 10 years.
And how likely are you to remember these unique commonalities that you have going forward? Like, whether it's you both have traveled internationally or anything like that.
Not too long. Some of them I'll remember. Others
I'll remember the exceptions.
What is the test?
Not so much about test, but I guess one of the traps that we all fall into whenever we're trying to sell something is we keep the conversation on that, or we feel this like, I got to get back to homeschooling, I got to get back to the content and things like that. So the purpose of this activity is that we don't always want to be talking, and we don't always want to try and just drive the conversation to homeschooling. It's the natural thing, it's the thing we feel most comfortable talking about, but at the same time, every single person at the convention that you're hoping to talk to and that you do talk to is going to have that conversation with someone else. It's part of these uncommon commonalities that help bridge a deeper bond, right? If I came up to the booth let's say instead of one, I had seven children, and you said you had nine, I'd be like, oh my God, I don't know anyone else who has more than three. That would be something that we would have a deeper connection on, and I would be able to relate to you more. The fact that you had four boys, right? You know, that's something that someone's going to connect with at a deeper level and be able to relate to. And from that, you're probably going to have some conversations about how many times you go to the ER and get stitches. How many, you know, like what sports did they play? Like, when did they do this? Like, did anyone, yeah, how many times do you have to pull a Lego out of someone's nose? Things like that, right? And those are the funny little things that really drive a deeper connection, which gives you a platform to have a more in-depth conversation, to ask the harder questions that you're not going to be able to ask if all we did was talk about homeschooling. If we came up and instead of talking about having, you know, multiple children and being able to have that deeper level, and you just talked to me about first grade curriculum pack and like here's the whole block, here's what you should get, cool, I'm going to have that conversation with nine other people that day. And the only difference is what does yours look like on the outside versus theirs, and then the price. And you know, we don't want people to make the decision on price. So, but if we get this deeper connection, then you get to ask me questions that you didn't necessarily earn the right to by just talking about homeschooling. You get to ask me, what's your timeline? What are you concerned about? What's keeping you up at night about this? You know, what's the most important thing in terms of making this decision? What does your homeschool environment look like? Where are you teaching? Like, are you all the different things that are going on? And it gives you this platform to make all these other recommendations. So, what seems like kind of a silly activity is really something that, like, one of the things that you really want to make a goal for when you're actually in the conversation. And if you feel like it's just homeschooling all the time, you need to kind of break that cycle and like, hey, great, so we've talked a whole bunch about homeschooling, but I don't know much about you. Tell me a little bit more about you. So where are you from? How long have you lived here? Did you grow up here? Great. And you ask them some easy questions. How many children do you have? And did you start in public school, or is this your first thing? Have you tried? Why did you make the switch? And why are you doing this? Like, why Christian focused instead of just regular homeschooling? And it gives you this deeper, you may know someone who goes to the same church that they do or something else, and be able to make these deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper connections. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter all the other vendors out there. It doesn't, because now I think of you as like an ally. I'm like, oh, hey, can I get your email address? I might have to ask you some questions down the road. Yeah. So what are some experiences we've had at the conventions that were like that?
But that's my problem. I have 40 people in my booth, and I'm doing that, but that takes time, and I'm not doing it with 39 other people. Like, for me, that's the easy part. I could talk to you even if you're the nonverbal, like, oh, wow, you're from Rhode Island, my husband grew up there. Like, that's just my personality, so it comes easy for me. However, it's knowing how to end it or cut it off or not go so much that then now I'm excluding other customers. Because that's hard to do with large groups of people one-on-one. Like, that's the idea.
So I guess I would challenge you to not just have the one-on-one, but engage multiple people in the conversation. They're all asking lots of stuff. Hey, where are you guys from? What are you guys doing? Like, I mean, if there's 39 people, first off, you can't connect with 39 people.
No, but I'm just saying, like, throughout
the... Yeah. Or they're coming and going. So you're talking to this person, somebody, then you're noticing, and you've got three other people working in the booth with you, but you're noticing these people kind of going by and they're leaving, and you're thinking, I got to get somebody to engage them, but everybody else is busy. So you feel like you can't spend...
Sometimes it is easy. Like, we have people that will say, like, all of a sudden that guy's there, and you just kind of back up, and you're like, yeah, you too? Oh, I got boys. Wait, you guys are talking about boys?
Oh, I do that,
like,
too.
That's I think, the easy thing.
Don't those videos have those people who come in during the workshops when you're not busy? That's, I think, when this would really play. Not in between workshops, when there's 500 people walking down the aisle, but the people who come back to us between workshops, they're the ones we can connect with.
Okay, I have a question. Then, so we've made a connection. After the convention, they contact us. Oh, remember me? I do not remember you. I had one last week, came on chat, and she said, are you Carla C. from Idaho? And I said, well, yeah, I met you at this convention. And I'm like, oh, it's so nice to hear from you again. And I just carried on as if I knew who she was, but I didn't have a clue. So how can we...
Well, I would just be completely authentic and say, I would say, oh, great to hear from you. Remind me about our conversation. Yeah. What did we talk about? Yeah. You know, sorry, I talked to a lot of people. Yeah. And they expect you. They expected you. Yeah, it was a huge...
Blame it on being a mom. Like, oh, my mom rank. Remind me of, like, you know, like... But I think people don't expect you to remember them because they know you see so many people.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting, Nicole, who is one of the customer relations people over there, was she had transferred the chat to me, so she's kind of following along, and when she got off, she said, oh, you handled that really well. I said, yeah, she acted like I was supposed to know her, and she said, I didn't know you didn't. So, I just was wondering, you know, how can you do that without just being, you know, lying to them?
Well, I mean,
there are young people that you truly do make a connection with, yes. And you see them the next year, and it's like your old buds. Hey, how did your year go this year? You know, I mean, it's like there is. Now, right. Sometimes they do that with you, and you're going, good, how was your year?
That's how I am.
The person, you know.
But they don't really, most of them really don't expect you to
They don't.
They understand.
So on the big groups, yeah, you want to try and connect with as many people, but don't fall into a sort of a snowplow mentality of like, there's 30 people at my booth or there's 10 people at my booth, I'm going to get all of them. It's the quality of your engagements that are actually going to drive the connection, is actually going to drive the order down the road. You don't want to alienate someone. You know, you may be really tight, like in a conversation, you may ask someone to come back. Like, hey, I see that you're about to go to a workshop. Could you come back at this time, or when would be a great time that we could connect, and invite them to come back to you. You know, or you know, if you're really like, hey, I'm helping this person, it's probably going to be about 7 more minutes or so. You know, can I connect with you after that? You know, there's refreshments over there. If you want to go grab something, I'll be back. In fact, hey, if you wouldn't mind, grab me a cup of coffee. I look forward to talking to you. So you can, you know, try and divide and conquer as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think how to pass some of those training on to our assistants.
Would be
because our assistants can do, or we can let our assistants hear.
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
And I'm sorry. Oh no, go ahead.
I was just asking, you know, you're tied up, but you have assistants that at least know some initial, basic fundamentals of how to just get these conversations. Mm-hmm. It's almost like saying, hey, stall them before I, you know.
Yeah.
But at least if they know some of these techniques, mm-hmm. it'll help keep them engaged so that it can buy you some time.
Vicky was meaning, how do we share this information
with our assistants? What he's saying
right now. Right. No,
yeah. Training would be great.
Yeah, we're recording.
And I would say my assistant, like, I mean, because it was the four of us, and we were all engaged in those type of conversations. Like, for us, it's, I think, it's with,
that's the kind of people we usually hire.
Right, exactly. Like, those are the people that come. So, but I think what's tricky is those, to me, I think I start to, like, I start off naturally doing, I get really excited, but then I start getting, oh my gosh, I've been talking to you for 3 minutes, and now... Like, I just feel that pressure to move on and like touch as many contacts as I can, because this is my one shot. So to
names
speak.
Down for people who need more attention,
right?
And let them know, Vicky will be calling you.
Yeah, I do that.
And
too.
Then I call them after the convention.
Yeah, I do that.
And
too.
That gives them that one-on-one mm-hmm. that they need when I don't have time to do it during convention.
I tend to do that by disengaging, like, and saying, you know, well, we can. If you need more, like to the people that I've had that conversation with, it's harder with the people.
Right.
I haven't built that connection with them.
Well, they make the connection, but then they need more expert advice, and they don't have the time for it. Right. That's when they take the information and call them later.
So a couple things on that. When it comes to wanting to get the follow-up, you take the responsibility for closing on the follow-up time. So if you and I don't have a lot of time, like, hey, sorry, we're out of time, you're going to a workshop. You know, today's Wednesday. What do you have going on Thursday at 3 o'clock? And, oh, nothing. Hey, how about I give you a call Thursday at 3 o'clock? What's your phone number? Great. And then to that point, you can just start. You own the next step, and you own, like, hey, I'm going to follow up with you. It's going to make them feel special because they view you as the expert. They're going to have time, and hey, you know what? Between now and that time, like, if you've got some extra questions or anything, like, here's my email address. You can just email it to me, and then I know what we can. I know what you really want to focus on, and you really get to be the lead on the actual assistance and things like that. First off, don't be afraid to do this activity with them, just to kind of get them in the mood of talking and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you're the quarterback. You're the expert. You're kind of running the show there. So you explain to them what you expect out of them and what you need out of them. So if you feel like you're getting really wrapped up in a conversation and it's hard for you to disengage, tell your assistants, hey, watch me. And if I get into a conversation that gets to be 4 or 5 minutes, come over and tap me on the shoulder and say I'm needed over here. And then you can politely say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, I have to go do this over here. This is so-and-so. I don't know your assistant's name. But, they're going to get your contact information. We can pick up the conversation offline. Really nice to meet you. I really enjoyed the conversation. They can help you out with any of these questions that you have right here. Because again, we're not closing at the show. Like, we're really not. Like, we're not getting anyone to sign a contract. No one's making a purchase. So don't feel like you should be closing at the show. You should be closing for the next step after the show, because that's when they're gonna make the purchase. How much better would it be if you had an appointment after the show, a couple days later, travel and all that sort of stuff, and I got on the phone with you, and you were a prospective homeschooling mom, and I was able to answer your questions and then say, hey, great, tell you what, hop on the website. I'm going to shoot you an email with a couple of links to the products. Go here, select this, select that. Great, and then go ahead. And you get to close over the phone, because there's no nexus issues with closing over the phone. And you really get to shepherd the buy all the way through. You help them with all the information they need, and you actually get to close the deal in an environment where you legally can close the deal. Cool?
Yes.
All right. I think we have lunch in like... Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just thinking of the ramifications of trying to do it that way. Because part of it for me is like I am basically... I mean, the motive operandum has been up to this point trying to... And this has been my frustration, which I shared with Barb. Mm-hmm. I have no control over closing. Which mm-hmm. I used to do direct sales. So for me, it was like I could say, oh, hey, I noticed you missed this. Would you mm-hmm. like me to add this? I had abilities to upsell and do all these other things. Whereas now... I'm hoping that you take my advice and I'm trying to literally give you your specifics and your order so that you go home and you will actually close that sale. Mm-hmm. The hard part for me is I'm actually a homeschool mom, so when I go home, I don't have a 40-hour week where I have appointment slots opened that I could actually then follow up and do that. So it's kind of a weird, like, yeah, that's ideal in terms of closing the sale or then not feeling bad about bowing out.
So part of what Tim was talking about is you don't have to be the person that closes. You have to set up the closing opportunity. So, hey, someone from one of our Sunlight experts is going to be following up with you. So maybe it's someone else that's at the table that's actually going to be the person following up. Maybe it's going to be someone else in the organization. Maybe it's going to be an advisor or someone else that can actually follow up. But either way, if we have that appointment and that person is sitting there waiting for the phone to ring and they're expecting to be engaged in the conversation, close rate's going to go through the roof. Because hope doesn't close anything. And hope is going to leave you frustrated. So if we go in with the same strategies and this, like, I'm going to really connect with this person and they're like, I know that my conversation was so intense with them that they're going to go to the website and do it. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
So we wouldn't necessarily, I mean, I'm assuming we would not contact every person that we talk to necessarily. We're collecting their information. But the ones we talk to, you could say, can I give you a call next week and walk you through the order process?
My intention is maybe you're not the person, but someone from Sunlight will be hopefully contacting every single person that we can. That's the intention.
So maybe we personally would contact the ones that we really connected with.
Exactly. You guys are the generals, right? We're gonna get an infantry of people below you that can help do the stuff, right? We're gonna make sure that the most important things that need to be accomplished with your expertise, you're the ones doing it. And someone else who doesn't need to have your level of expertise but can answer their questions or can just help them make the purchase, great. You know, I met Cindy at the Milwaukee, Wisconsin show, and she was really interested in the fifth grade curriculum. She's got a son who's, you know, just finished fourth grade, looking to go into fifth grade. We can capture all of that information. We can pass that off to someone else, and they can be the person that actually follows up and says, hey, I saw that you talked to Carla at the Milwaukee show. I'm Kevin from Sunlight. I just want to follow up on the conversation. Do you have a couple of minutes right now? Great. Hey, so from my notes, this is what it says. Is this a good time to talk? Great. So let me see what I can, then they'll take over from there and try and close the deal.
I like it a lot. If you send an email, like sometimes I get in a conversation with people and I'll say, you know what, how about if I follow up with an email listing the stuff that you think I need? Is that a nexus problem?
No.
An email once I get home? Because I do that.
No, that's not a nexus problem. I'll defer to Tim if... But from my understanding, it's not.
I do that. When I get home, I send them emails with links.
No, that's fine. There's some states, again, we all should be good, but there are some states where we can't have, you know, the in-state rep. So
even if they live in Florida, but they attend the convention in North Carolina, I follow up with them, I can't?
No, so if you're in North Carolina says, hey, you can't have any in-state reps, and we send you to North Carolina, you're good.
Right, but I'm from Florida, and you can't have any in-state reps in Florida, but the person from Florida attends North Carolina, because that's regional.
Right.
My South Carolina convention, I get 12 different states.
No, you can't. And specifically in Florida, there's some day time frames that if you have representation longer than, say, 14 days, then
you now have a relationship.
You now have nexus in Florida.
Okay.
Well,
She can't even send an email.
I can't say because every state is different. I would just have to research the laws. I can say there would be some states that no, you couldn't, and there would be some states that yes, you could.
But everyone could send an email introducing someone who works in Denver, Colorado Sunlight. So worst case scenario,
sends out an email and right to everyone that we said we saw at our booth, saying thanks for coming by.
I just think of the one I say to people, I'm going to call you next week. Is that all right? And I write on the back of the card, call them next week and we'll talk about this. And then I talk to them, I send them an email with all we talked about. I said, this is what our conversation was. I sent them that email with all the links. I do that all the time. I'm just saying, am I doing something wrong? I guess that's what I'm saying. I thought it was good follow-up.
I would assume you're okay.
Okay. I mean, there's nobody.
From my experience, that's good follow-up. You're just giving them the information that they've requested.
That's right.
You're not closing a sale. You're not filling out an order form for them. You're not filling out a partially filled out order form.
No, I'm just sending them links.
You're just giving the information they've requested as an expert.
Well, that's how I justified it in my mind.
If Tim finds something that conflicts with that, then we can make a change to that. But for now, that's going to be the thing that we're going to try and do the most.
See, and I think part of it for me is I'm used to being that person that then can finish that conversation and finish that sale. So it gets tricky because I feel like I'm doing all that legwork, and right now it's not going to anybody. It's not like I have hope that maybe they might contact me and follow up if they need help. Yeah. To do that, and I can answer.
Our intention is to give you guys the resources so that you can maximize the convention. My goal is to extend the convention. The convention is only for a couple of hours, right? Even if it's for a couple of days, you only get minutes to interact with people. Right. You can't get that much accomplished in minutes, right? So, but if we can give you this off-ramp conversation that sets the expectation of, hey, this is what's going to happen next. I know we only had a couple of minutes to talk. I probably wasn't able to answer all of your questions. In fact, I probably got you to, you probably are thinking even more questions. We're gonna follow up with you. So we're not going to be, I'm not trying to give all of you 60 hours of week or of work or anything a week. But Sunlight will follow up with you. We'll make sure we get all this stuff. Let me make sure I have all of your contact information correct.
So in my previous presentation, when I talked about inside sales, this is what we're talking about.
That would be awesome. Tim, I love it. I absolutely love it. I like to mention almost every weekend for 2 months. There's no way I can follow up.
No.
But to have someone doing it is fantastic.
Yeah, we can collect the
information. I love that.
And they're helping you close a sale, which obviously you'll eventually get.
Yeah, right.
So that's part of the plan.
Like Jill said, have in the past tried to designate certain like cold contacts versus warm contacts,
right,
so to speak, and we tried to do that, but I guess that was where I was just thinking system-wide, like how does that change?
Well, I think we would still do that.
From my point of view, if they're a contact, they want to talk.
That's what I feel like. I feel like if we can market to them, if we could just get their contact and market to them any way we can, we're not going to convert them all, but there's people that wouldn't even have looked at Sunlight, don't even know what it is, and they're in that deer in the headlight. But if they get an email from Sarita saying how they might be the best contact ever.
There's also the scenario of someone talked to someone two booths down from you. Right. They had actually a better conversation than they had with you, but that company does no follow-up.
Yeah. Yep.
And that,
that's
so
right.
That mom's at home and they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to do, and the phone rings or they get an email looking to schedule an appointment. Great.
Kind of like
these people reached out to me.
We used to have.
Yeah.
We used to do something similar to
trained. But that was for after the sales. But yeah.
I mean, the rules are the rules, right? We can't close deals, and we can't like clone a bunch of you to get a whole bunch of extra time, and we can't get someone to come in and watch your 9 children so that you have, you know, 60 hours a week to go and make follow-up calls. So if we can get you to have really good conversations and make that initial conversation, and then we can leverage that experience across the board for Sunlight, everyone succeeds a lot more, and to Tim's point, eventually your commissions will show as well, and you benefit from it. So it'll behoove.
How that would work. I mean, obviously, we've got our cards, and we can give you our cards. Mm-hmm. But for you to know, I had a conversation with this one, and it was a good one, we're going to need to make a lot of pretty detailed notes there on the floor.
Sure, and if I could pause that conversation, we'll focus on the how.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll get there.
Okay.
But I just want to make sure that he has the time to get through the other stuff. But it's a great question. So we know what we want to do. So now we'll work out how we're going to do it.
And with Nexus, there's some logistics stuff. So long story short, if you have a convention next week, we may not have the perfect system in place. We will shortly, though. And that's the major focus of what I'm trying to accomplish. So today, we want to make sure that you can have the skills to get as many great conversations and try and get those things moving forward. So I think it's 11:30. Are we?
It's here.
All right, let's do lunch.
So real quick, we're going to continue on during lunch. So we'll grab lunch, but let's continue what we're doing here. So let's try to be.
Are you going to go over? Because one thing that I'm going to do is some people can order at conventions and close. So part of it is I can make a great convention, but sometimes they go to that booth where they can close and they just, I just want to be done. So I just, one of the things I feel like I need is suggestions on how to get them to not close.
So we're going to talk about differentiating Sunlight and why they should wait and why Sunlight's going to be the best.
Almost that elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's great if they haven't closed when we talked.
Honestly, it comes down to outing it. Like, hey, it looks to me like you've got money in your pocket, burning a hole. You really want to make you want to be done with this. Here's the reason you don't want to be done with this today. Today should be a research day for you.
I mean, that's one thing that I try to push and plant that seed of. You know, one of the reasons we don't take your money now is we want you to make sure you're not going to regret this impulse purchase. Like, I'm going to plant that seed that you are making an impulse purchase if you go over there and do that. Sometimes it's hard to know. Yeah. We don't always know.
We'll get into it a little bit later, but it's about leveraging the whole system, and it really comes down to this. It comes down to like really taking it from like a closing conversation to a consultative conversation of, here's all the reasons that you need to weigh your options. You going and spending this money today could be the most costly decision you make, because you're going to realize actually you wanted this, so now you've already made this purchase and you're going to want to make this purchase. So you're stuck with the chicken that was on sale instead of the steak you really wanted.
See, and that's what I need. I need chicken on sale instead of steak. But that's where I think it's frustrating, because my personality is used to doing it the other way.
Yeah.
But then I feel like I almost feel like I'm wasting my time because it's not progressing to that.
So we're going to...
Good. Maybe
the first 2.5 hours of this are like tactics. How do we do things like that? The whole rest of the time we're together, we're going to go through situations. So, hey, how do I do this? There's something, you know, because I've never actually worked an SCC, or I've never worked a convention before. So I need you guys to tell me where you're having challenges. I got a little bit of insight talking to Judy and Carla about some of the things, but.
Well, and I think, too, sometimes personalities, we have different stumbling blocks in terms of, you know,